Weekend huddle here on 102.5 The Game. Connor Newt was just joined by Parker Kelly, who had to catch a flight to Chicago. But look who's back.
In the
Dr.
flesh.
Crane, DC, Nick Frazier in the flesh, coming back. How's San Fran? I know you're out there now.
San Antonio, yes. It's not too shabby. Not too shabby. You know, there's
same starting word.
Yeah, they're all a saint in some regard. Nah, it's pretty hot here. I mean, we're talking 104, 103. Yeah, just as hot as it was at Titans training camp the other day.
Oh, yeah. Well, I wasn't out there because I don't think I'll ever get to go to another practice again at this point. School starting and, you know, taking over Jake's show as the producer. I don't think that's in the cards.
Yeah, how'd you like it? One weekend as the EP there.
He's doing great, man. It's not about me because it's his show. It's Next Man Up with Jake Lyman, not Connor New.
Right. But still, as a producer, though, there's a lot of moving parts.
I mean, we obviously miss him here, but he's got so much chemistry with everyone that walks through that door. Paul Kaharsky, TD, Kevin Ingram came in this week, Corey Curtis, obviously Parker and I hosted yesterday, but he's flourishing, man. And he's so, compared to other people I've worked with, he is so low maintenance. Like, yeah. It's just, he's easy to work with. You know how he is.
That's Jake Lyman. He's a true all-star for sure.
I mean, he's a Swiss Army knife. You can ask that guy to do anything and he'll do it. Speaking of Swiss Army knives, ESPN is launching a new direct-to-consumer streaming platform that they claim is going to be the Swiss Army knife of sports streaming. They've acquired NFL Network, I mean, Red Zone, that entails with Scott Hansen. I don't know if that'll still be 7 hours of commercial-free football during the witching hour. I highly doubt it, but, you know, it comes with all the Red Zone or NFL Network programming, like Good Morning Football, all of that, exclusive NFL games. Also comes with the WWE. Which will stream big time pay-per-views premium live events is what the woke left is wanting me to call it.
Oh boy. So we're just renaming pay-per-views now. Okay.
Yes. Premium live event, but it will carry the Royal Rumble, WrestleMania, SummerSlam, everything you want, which will kind of derail Peacock as it is. But I broke that down on my podcast, Ring Noise, which will be coming up here shortly on 102.5 The Game at 1 o'clock. So be sure to stay tuned for that. Myself and Christian Skelton on that. But I want to talk about the NFL side of things. What does this mean for the future of football? Football TV, I should say.
Yeah.
The starting price for this direct-to-consumer product is $30 a month, $29.99. Are you, Nick Frazier, as a football fanatic, a sports fanatic, willing to pay $30 a month for this product?
Well, yes and no. I was reading a lot of just different articles about this. So supposedly, if you have cable television, which I'm one of those old boomers that has cable television, it doesn't really
affect... Good old DirecTV.
Yeah, yeah. It doesn't really affect those that have cable television. Now, you may see a little bit of a price hike on your cable bill by a couple dollars, but I don't think it'll affect it in a full aspect regard. Now, this DTC, the direct-to-consumer, when it comes to, you know, $30 a month, that includes ESPN Plus, your pay-per-view events that is now being rephrased as something else.
And I think that entails the UFC too.
Yes. I know UFC, their deal right now is like $72 or $89 a year or something like that. And you get all the pay-per-view events or something. I don't know.
You know more about that than I do, but yeah, they stream on ESPN Plus as well.
Yeah, they all stream on ESPN Plus. I know the fight nights that are free, they're like the free events. Yeah. You can watch those on ESPN Plus for the prelims, and then you watch the primetime main card fight on ESPN Plus. That's their hook to get you to go there. But overall, I think this is a okay. I'm just going to stay even with this. I think it's an okay move. Overall, I'm not necessarily a fan of it, but it's an okay move. I think a better way to phrase it is I get it. I get it. Yeah. That this is the new landscape of consuming sports. It's all digital. You're on your phone. You're doing this. And I mentioned this last week, Connor. I don't know if you remember this or not, but I was listening to a podcast, and I don't know if it was a former ESPN exec, whatever it may be, but he mentioned you may see games that are like Alabama-Auburn, the Iron Bowl, in 3 to 4 years down the road where you got to pay $5.99 to watch that game. There's going to be a premium price to watch those type of games. Now, that's all hypothetical, but yeah. Could it get to that? That's the thing. Could it get to that with this direct-to-consumer concept? Because I feel like the $30 a month is the hook to say, oh, at the beginning, you could watch NFL Red Zone. You can watch NFL Network, all these extra NFL games and everything like that. It's all sunshines and rainbows when you first watch it. That's great.
Yeah.
But then 5 to 6 years down the road, whoa, I'm paying $5 to watch Clemson versus Georgia Tech. I don't want to watch this game. Wait, why is this on my bill? Then you're going to be back and forth with communications. I need refunds. I need refunds. No, no, no. This is where the head case goes.
I think I'm with you. I see the appeal of, wow, I can have the NFL Network and I can watch Inside the NBA and WWE all in the same place, the same service. It defeats the notion of, you know, well, I got to go to Peacock to watch WWE, and then I got to go to Amazon Prime to watch Thursday Night Football, and then I got to go to whatever, YouTube TV to watch actual live sports. I think I see the appeal in this new service. Now, the price point is what I think will drive people away. I think your diehard fans are going to probably cancel some subscriptions and move some money around and pay the $30 a month just to get the appeal. But the casual fan, like the casual, let's say I'm a casual Chicago Bears fan. Like I follow the team, not entirely closely. I stick around to watch every game that comes on national television, but I don't have the Sunday ticket or say what have you. I don't think that type of fan is going to go for a $30 a month price point when they can just, you know, watch whatever. You're Chicago, so you're a national market. You're going to be on national TV multiple times a year. And then, you know, some of them get VPNs and stream it that way. Some of them just wait till a couple hours after the game, go silent. Someone will post it probably illegally on YouTube or Reddit or something like that.
The piracy aspect of it.
Or even if you want to go truly hardcore, which I can't see myself doing as someone who enjoys live sports, you wait the next day and watch the highlights. That kind of fan to me is not the kind of fan that this is a target for. Now, as far as you talking about within 5 years, we're paying individually for games. That to me is a complete hypothetical, but I do think in the defense, I think the starting rates of said streaming services are going to escalate. You're going to get higher, especially if there's a high demand for something like this. Mm-hmm. Like you have, let's say they oversell. They sell 120% of profits, whatever. I'm not a business guy. I'm just kind of, you know, trying to make myself sound smart. Anyways,
throwing an example out there.
Let's say they oversell and they massively exceed expectations. Do you not think that they're going to somehow, yeah, we're going to acquire rights to the NHL Network, but it's also going to cost you $35 a month instead of $30. I think that's where it will start trending.
Yeah, I agree, because I don't know if you remember this or not. Back, I'd say probably as the end of the NBA Finals, near that realm where they were talking about Inside the NBA, and then ESPN basically outsourced them for the upcoming season this fall. There was a big, I think it was ESPN, Peacock, NBC, and CBS, they all were going to make this one mega app where it was all going to have your sports on one app where everybody was going to be together. But then something fell through the cracks where they weren't able to go all the way through with it, and it didn't work out. So now each of these individual entities, as I'll call them, platforms, are going to make their own streaming service. So obviously ESPN has theirs. I wouldn't be surprised if Fox has theirs. I mean, they already do, but to this aspect where you're going to have a big old, you know, stream or of whatever it may be. But I don't know. It's just, there are a lot of question marks around it. Again, I'll reiterate the ESPN DTC unlimited plan, $30 a month, like we're talking about, but you get all their linear networks, ESPN, 2U, SEC Network, ACC Network, ESPN News, Deportes, ESPN Plus, all that. So,
but if you have cable, you have most of that, right?
Exactly. So what my thing is, and I think this is a plus one for cable providers and also plus one for people that consume all this through cable, is I know this for a fact, the cable provider I'm with, I have a grandfathered in rate. So if ESPN decides they want to add something to their plan or they want to do something else, plus one to the boomers that watch it on cable television. Sure, you may be 2 seconds behind, but guess what? You're saving $25 a month. I'm fine with that. That's exactly what's happening here. Because all this is for, this is essentially ESPN and Fox Sports and all that. They're introducing a sports package like if it were cable television, but for all the people out there that have YouTube TV and streaming platforms. That's all it is. Yeah. It's just the digital cable package.
They're garnering off the younger generation. They're garnering off people like you and me who are in the demographic of, well, we watch off of streaming service. Now, you're a little different because you have cable.
Right.
But in my family, we have YouTube TV. We don't have traditional cable. We stream, you know, you still have all these channels and stuff, but it's not the thousands and thousands of channels that cable has.
Right.
It is like maybe 100 channels. Now you have your essential ESPN and your SEC Network and all of that, but you don't have the ESPN News or ESPN 6, whatever ESPN you want to talk about. CBS Sports Network, those secondary sports channels that not a lot of people watch, where you'll find, like, no offense to MTSU, but MTSU and FIU on a Tuesday night.
Right.
We don't have access to that. So I think they're trying, that's kind of the allure of ESPN Plus, right? Is that you have the ability to go and watch these lesser known games. Or when we get to college baseball season, a lot of those games are carried on that. Like, I have a lot of friends that are Tennessee baseball fans. The SEC Network only airs one baseball game a day, pretty much, maybe two, if they, you know, correlate time wise. All the other ones are on ESPN Plus or SEC Network Plus. I think by incorporating all of these things, and I believe they're going to add more. They're going to go, you know, we've acquired the NHL Network, or we're acquiring the MLB Network, or whatever network is out there. They're going to reach that point, and I think that's just going to cause an incline in the prices, unfortunately. That's just the world we live in right now.
You're right. That is exactly the world we live in. It's just about price hiking right now. The one thing we'll get, I want to get to real quick before we go to the break is, has this ESPN, I guess, DTC, direct-to-consumer consumption affect college football? And obviously I mentioned earlier the paying $4 or $5 for one game down the road, 4 or 5 years down the road, maybe that happens. Huge hypothetical. But for me, something at the initial standpoint right now is you look at college football as a whole and I just see a lost opportunity when it comes to, you know, if you're doing direct to consumers, like how the Dallas Stars had their own app and they were able to stream all their games that way.
The Longhorn Network.
Yeah, like the Longhorn Network. I remember that. I think ESPN owns the entities to that. I think all these teams need to start doing that. And or the SEC needs to just start doing their own platform. Obviously, they have a contract with ESPN, but I just think that might be the lay of the land going forward once these contracts, all these contracts expire. I think that's what we might see going forward. I don't know.
I think we need to go back. This is just a me thing. We need to go back to kind of our roots, the olden days. I'll use the Predators as an example. When the Predators first came to Nashville, this was obviously before you and me, but they had a way, and the Sounds do this today. They would broadcast the game on television, and the television call would be the exact call that you would hear on the radio. Mm-hmm. It was a simulcast. I would love to see college programs, University of Kentucky, for example. I'll use my team. I would love to see a University of Kentucky produced, not student produced, university program produced, televised game where I can hear Tom Leach on the call calling the Wildcats. And, you know, we have Wildcat transitions. And kind of like in pro sports, we have, you know, you have your, what is it now, FanDuel Sports.
Yeah.
The Cardinals have their own local broadcast with Chip Carey on the call. Something like that. I think that should be the route we get. But yeah, that's just my opinion.
Apple TV does something like that. They do a local radio broadcast option when you're watching the game live. You could do the Apple TV, I guess, TV broadcast, or you could have the option to go listen to the radio broadcast and they sync it up with the end time live feed, which I think is genius.
Which is awesome.
Yeah, it's genius, honestly. So that's my biggest concern. And also, too, could there be a college football red zone that we've all been waiting for? Maybe with the 10%. Yeah, maybe. There might be. You want to get to that on the other side?
Sure, yeah.
Okay.
Let's talk about that. Also, let's talk about the fact that as of today, August 10th, 2025, we are exactly 2 weeks away from the start of college football. You can text or call us at 5-737-1025. This is Weekend Huddle with Connor Newt, Nick Frazier. We'll see you on the other side here on 102.5 The Game. Weekend Huddle here on 102.5 The Game on a Saturday morning. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier here with you, broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, where the buzz is always about great service. And we just touched on the new ESPN direct-to-consumer streaming service and how that affects college football. And Frazier, you brought something up as a tease that I wasn't expecting to talk about, but I am now very interested to talk about. Roger Goodell teased it earlier this week, and that is college football red zone. Similar to NFL red zone with Scott Hansen, if you're not familiar, that is quite literally, or at least it used to be, 7 commercial-free hours of football. He takes you around the league, every single NFL game, all 32 teams in action. What would a college red zone look like? Would it be exclusively Power 4? Would you have some G5 in there? What do you think that would entail, Nick?
I mean, there's so many tentacles to go from this. You could do an octo box, and you could have maybe with so many college football games, if it's Group of 5 or Power 4, you could have an octo box channel by itself for red zone. You could have, I guess, your Power 4 red zone, Group of 5 red zone. You could do multiple, you could branch out of this multiple ways. And I think it'd be genius for if it would be ESPN or any other entity to do something like this, especially ESPN, because they have the 10%, well, I guess NFL has 10% rights ownership of ESPN, but then that gives ESPN the opportunity to use NFL red zone. So if you were to make a college football red zone, this I think would be a home run. This is what college football fans have been yearning for years, Connor.
Right. And I think you're right. I think you would have to split it up on some level. Because if you're watching the Power 4 red zone, chances are you don't want to hear, now let's go over to 1-8 Western Kentucky and, you know, 0-9 FAU, whatever. Those are just two examples, nothing against those two teams. I think you would have to keep it separate. Like, let's say, I think there's only one man in my mind that could do this, and that's Reese Davis. Reese Davis says, all right, here is Clemson and Miami live from Death Valley. We now send it over to the SEC where Arkansas and Texas A&M are doing battle. That's how you have to do it. You got to go around the Power Four. You got to go, you know, people want to see the marquee matchups. Chances are, if you're watching the big time matchups, you're probably going sicko mode and just, you got YouTube TV has the multi-view now. You do that. Or if you're really old fashioned like me, you got one on the laptop and one on the TV. That's how you do it. Now, as far as G5, that's where the Sickos Committee, are you familiar with that account on Twitter?
I am quite familiar with this, yes. It's pretty hilarious.
That's where the Sickos Committee would come in. And that's where you see your 3-9 MTSU taking on, you know, 0-12 TSU.
Yeah.
For example. I kind of have an intrigue in that. Because I kind of, you would see these programs you're not used to seeing on TV. Like, you're going to go see Maction on a Saturday morning. And this is before, obviously, Tuesday night action kicks off over on ESPN. But you would be able to see, like, all right, let's head down to Akron and Toledo taking on each other. I think it's a brilliant idea. I think that is money in ESPN's pocket, and I think that is just an upgrade in the world of college sports.
Yeah, the only issue I have, and I think they'll run into this issue if they ever were to expand this way, is sometimes those Maction games that are on Tuesday nights or Conference USA games that are on Tuesday or Wednesday nights, they're normally through CBS or they're through another entity, which, that means, oh, I guess ESPN's got to cut some of their pie. You want some of this pumpkin pie, CBS? We'll give you some, but for only 2% and not 5%.
Which makes me curious how NFL Red Zone is going to work, because you're going to have games going on multiple stations. Like, you'll have a game on NBC, you'll have a game on CBS, and you'll have games on the NFL Network. I am curious to see how they do that. Do they will obviously have to make mention of the other stations.
Oh, yeah.
But I think they're going to make it work. The thing that sticks out in my mind is if you did a G5 one, that just gives – that's money in those programs' pockets.
More exposure, absolutely.
Like, if I'm Miami, Ohio, I am jumping at the idea of my G5 program being showcased on a G5-specific program, television program, that is. I think those athletic directors would be jumping at that idea because that's more eyes on their program. Whether they're good or not, you still have viewers looking at your product that you're putting out on the field. And guess what? That's money in your department's pocket. That's money in Chris Massaro's pocket right there.
Mm-hmm. A guy who's a part of the committee, by the way, college football committee.
Yeah. So. Nice guy. Yeah. Talked to him a few times. He's always good to us.
Indeed he is. He needs to get us out there to the MTSU, out to the borough.
Please. I would love to broadcast right from my good old Walnut Grove. Those squirrels come up right. They would come up right out on the table. We could get Lightning on as a guest. That'd be fantastic.
I've got some connections. I think we both have some connections to Lightning.
Yeah. We got some pull.
There we go.
I could ask Lightning. Although I am one of the few people that has ever heard Lightning speak. One time I showed up to an MTSU basketball game in a Cardinals shirt, and Lightning pulled me in close and whispered in my ear, "Go Cubs." So,
oh, Lightning's a Cubs fan. Okay.
Yeah, I guess Lightning supports his brothers in blue.
Mm. Interesting. Well, Connor, thanks for allowing me to go on my soapbox with this direct-to-consumer.
Dude, no, you
man.
Set me on the soapbox. I mean, it's such an interesting topic to me because, I mean, as people in sports media, you kind of want to see how it shakes out. So,
yeah. I mean, is the landscape of college football going to change? I mean, I think we're all just wanting to see the Octobox button college football form. We want to see Scott Hansen doing college football games. That makes me wonder, before we go to the break, was it Scott Hansen's bladder that caused all the commercials to come into the factor, or was it something else? You know, I mean, 7 hours of commercial-free football, you're a camel at that point.
I mean, I'm convinced that guy just doesn't eat or drink the day before.
Yeah.
Kind of like Joey Chestnut. Like, he just doesn't eat like a week prior to the hot dog eating contest. I'm convinced Scott Hansen just doesn't do anything. Maybe he sleeps the entire day, which, respect to him. And if he does, I think he has an emergency bottle or something.
And he has to. He has. There's no way that guy stands behind the podium and doesn't do anything.
Stands, by the way. Does not sit.
Yes, Stan.
Legend. He's an American hero. He needs, whenever he's gone, I need to see his suit hanging up in Canton, Ohio.
I agree. He should have a gold jacket for all that, to be honest with you.
I will directly contact the NFLPA and say Scott Hansen needs to be honored.
Hang it up in the rafters.
Hang it up in the rafters.
What we got coming up next, Connor?
You mentioned the landscape of college football changing because of this streaming service, because of the sports media side of things. But I want to talk about the landscape of college football as it is on the gridiron. I kind of teased it last segment and we didn't quite get to it. So let's get to it this next segment. 14 days from today, the college football season kicks off. Who is your preseason Heisman front runner? That's up next here on Weekend Huddle 102.5 The Game. Welcome back inside the huddle here on Weekend Huddle on a Saturday morning. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier, talking a little college football. And you can get involved in the conversation on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Frazier, we are almost there. 2 weeks from today, week zero of college football kicks off. And I have to admit, I was upset with you a couple of days ago. Uh-oh. Because I heard you and Chase and Joe talking about college football rivalries, and Joe brought up Farmageddon, and neither of you guys knew what Farmageddon was, despite it being a matchup in week zero, and that's Kansas State and Iowa State.
I should have knew. I'm sorry. I should have known.
Come on, man.
That's my bad. I don't know if you get this or not, but it's like maybe producer fatigue when you get behind the board and you're just so dialed in on what you're doing on the computer. Yeah.
Sometimes you just hit a wall, man.
Like, yeah, I think that's probably what it was. Hopefully that's not the case in some regard, but that's probably what it was that day.
I can tell you I hit a wall yesterday because I'm sure Nashville is completely sick of my voice right now as I hosted Next Man Up with Parker Kelly yesterday for 3 hours. Then I was on the air with Joe Dubin for about 3 hours. Ooh. So hopefully I'm not burning people's eardrums off with my obnoxious voice. But
nah. And they got ring knowers coming up at 1. So you're good.
Yep. And tomorrow at 10. So everyone is going to be completely sick of Connor Newt by the end of the week. But that's okay. You know what I'm not sick of and what I'm ready for? College football. I've been playing the game, obviously, but I'm ready for the real thing. And really, I'm ready to see who produces the most. And that leads me to the question, which, of course, I would like my audience to respond to, too. Who right now, 2 weeks out from the season, is your preseason Heisman frontrunner?
That's a good question. I'm trying to think. I mean, for me, I've been really big on Texas A&M this preseason. And
Parker and I just touched on that on the last segment. I think Texas A&M is a team that people are not talking enough about.
Yeah. Mike Elko is a really, really good coach, head coach, that is. And mm-hmm. I think with Marcel Reed having the experience he had his freshman year, true freshman year, it just gives him the upper edge. As a 21-year-old, you got to be, and as a coach as Mike Elko, you got to be excited for what you got coming up. You have a lot of returners on the offensive side of the ball with a young quarterback who's pretty composed in Marcel Reed. Plus, not only good with his
solid
arm.
Solid offensive line.
Yeah, that's exactly right. The offensive line is solid, and not only is Marcel Reed good throwing the ball, the guy can run. He's versatile. Yep. He can do it all.
I hate using these two words because I think it's kind of derogatory towards quarterbacks, but Marcel Reed is kind of a game manager to me mm-hmm. in that I don't think he is the elite level quarterback that a DJ Lagway or a Garrett Neismeyer or a Lenora Sellers is, but he's going to win you some football games. It's with his legs. He doesn't have the biggest arm, but that's okay because he has such a good offensive line. He's allowed to move around the pocket, move outside the pocket. Texas A&M has a three-headed monster at running back, so that'll help him out a lot. And they've got some solid receivers. So I'm with you. I think Marcel Reed, although he may be the product of a winning football team this year, I think it's going to be a lot because of him.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And another twist to this that I'm curious about, there are a lot of position players minus quarterbacks that are up already for contention of the Heisman preseason.
Oh, yeah.
You got Ryan Williams, wide receiver out of Alabama. You got mm-hmm. Jeremiah Smith, another wide receiver mm-hmm. from Ohio State. Jeremiah Love, can't forget about him. You know, yeah. I mean, that's somebody.
Nick Singleton.
Yeah, Nick Singleton. I mean, a lot of these guys are pretty good. The fact that I take it back. That is exactly why I love college football more than the NFL, is because when you look at the MVP race in the NFL, it's always quarterback driven. You look at the Heisman race in college football, there's always a position player involved. They may not win, but yet they're going to be in New York.
We say, as a position player, just won it last year.
Exactly. So,
but that comes off the heels of two historic seasons by two historic position players. Travis Hunter is, you know, once in a generation type player. You're probably not going to see that kind of player for a really, really long time.
Yeah.
And then Ashton Jeanty just had the best rushing season in like 40 years. So,
yeah, I mean, it's crazy because there's so much good talent at that college level, and it's unfortunate that all of them can't win the Heisman, but that's why you have individual like awards for each position. Kudos to college football just as a category in itself for being some of the best of the best when it comes to athletes.
Let me throw one more quarterback at you.
Sure.
Let's go outside the SEC on this one. What do you think of Cade Klubnik out of Clemson?
Mm.
He had a great season last year. 3,639 yards, 36 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, completion percentage of 63.4. QB ratings don't really matter as much in college as they do the NFL, but he had a QB rating of 148.2. That's efficiency right there.
It is. It is efficiency. I'm not sold quite yet on Clemson as a whole. I got to see what they can do this season. Yeah, I know that sounds very chintzy of me to say, but Cade Klubnik, he's got the intangibles to really make a statement for himself this season coming up and for the Heisman race. But I just think there are a lot more athletes out there that are better than him. And it may not be at the quarterback position, but at other positions as a whole. I mean, I don't know if you can put the name Cade Klubnik with a Jeremiah Smith or a Cade Klubnik with a Ryan Williams. Nonetheless, it depends on the quarterback play for Alabama if they can service the ball to Ryan Williams. But I mean,
gotta trust Ty Simpson, baby.
Yeah, I don't know if I can. I don't know if I can trust a Cade Klubnik going up in a hostile environment this fall. Let's say, I don't know. Let's say it's either Duke or SMU, or I think both those games are at home. As I say that, oops, yeah, they are both at Clemson. So let me take that back. UNC maybe. I know they start their season off this year with LSU, and that's a home game for them. They're listed as the home team, so I don't know. It's very interesting. They have a favorable schedule. I could see where he could pat some stats, but in due time. But I'm just not quite sold on Cade Klubnik yet.
I'm very high on Clemson, A, because I think they return a lot of talent.
Mm-hmm.
B, because I think you look at the ACC and the depth of that conference, I think it's Clemson's to lose. Yeah, you have maybe Miami, but they've also lost a lot of talent. Obviously, we know some of that talent here locally with Cam Ward and Elijah Arroyo, he's in Seattle, but Xavier Restrepo, James Williams on the defensive side, all here in Nashville playing for the Titans. But outside of that, I mean, UNC is a mystery to me. Duke is supposed to be good, but I don't think they're on the level of a Clemson or Miami. Same with Louisville. SMU, I think they return Kevin Jennings, but outside of that, I think they take a little bit of a step back. I think the ACC outside of Clemson is so wide open for that second team to come, and that's why I think Clemson will kind of just run away with it, because I think they're miles ahead of every other team.
Yeah, no, I agree to that. Absolutely. I think another team in the ACC that might give Cade Klubnik and Clemson a run for their money, watch out for Stanford this year. You know, they got Frank Wright, former Indianapolis Colts head coach, and obviously you got Andrew Luck as the general manager for Stanford. So watch out for the Stanford Cardinals, man. That's a team that might be sneaking up on some people this year in the ACC.
You just made our good friend, Alec Iomanner, very proud by saying that.
Hey, Alec, I don't know you personally, man, but yeah, you're Stanford Cardinals, man. They got something going on out there.
He was on with Jake Lyman and I the other day. He was great. Very well spoken.
He seems like a true pro's pro in that regard. I mean, not trying to put a Titans twist to this, but I was listening the other day when I was hosting with Big Joe down at the Omni. Cam Ward spoke on, you know, Alec Iomanner and Calvin Ridley. I mentioned this to Joe. Jeffrey Simmons and Tavondre Sweat have that bond because everybody kept preaching, oh, T Sweat needs to be with Jeff Simmons everywhere they go, if it's film, whatever. I heard Cam Ward say something about that. But for Alec Iomanner, basically saying Calvin Ridley took him under his wing and he's learning from him. And from every clip I've seen from their joint practice earlier this week with Tampa Bay, that dude looks pretty darn good.
Yeah, he's. I've been out on that practice field a few times, and that guy has not disappointed me every time. He's not the fastest guy. He's not the biggest guy, but man, that dude is such an elite route runner. Like, he is going, keep your head on the swivel if you're a DB, because he is going to make you miss.
Indeed. I mean, yeah, if I was a DB, we all know what happens there. It's Sir Clamps a lot. Nobody's getting the ball past me, man. I just tell you that right now.
I feel like you would be a clamp up DB. I think you would just go out there and hit someone.
Yeah, I might throw a cheap shot in there once or twice, but like I think I'd
rather see you as an edge rusher. Just Bobby Boucher, just
see me as an inside linebacker. Gun the quarterback. Buddy. I'm taking out some legs. I tell everybody, put me an inside linebacker, I'm taking out some legs, man.
I mean, don't sleep on Nick Frazier at DT. I could see you breaking through.
Again.
Getting to that quarterback.
Tennessee Titans, I will sign the waiver and come out to practice one day. I know you listen, Brian Callahan. You have your people call my people.
Brian Callahan. I hear they're having tryouts at Cheesecake Factory parking lot this afternoon.
Oh, I'm ready. Give me a nice.
If you want to get out there.
Give me a nice cheesecake. I love cheesecake. And give me some pads. I'm ready to go.
I know you're in Texas right now, but I'll have my boy Brian send you a private jet, and we'll get you out there.
You know what they say, everything's bigger in Texas.
Everything?
Everything.
Okay.
Just say everything from what I've been told.
Speaking of the Titans, let's get to this on the other side. It's game day, Nick Frazier. We have Titans football on today, August 9th, 2025, the day Titans football returned to our screens. What is the expectation for this preseason game? They're super high, but what are those expectations / predictions? We'll get to that on the other side on the Weekend Huddle here with Connor Newt, Nick Frazier on 102.5 The Game. One last segment here on the Weekend Huddle on your Saturday morning drive. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier here with you. It's game day, Nick Frazier. Titans football is back on our televisions today as they take on Tampa Bay live from Raymond James Field. Is it Field or Stadium?
Stadium.
Yeah. In Tampa, Florida. Are you excited?
I really don't know what to think. Should I be excited or should I be nervous or should I just be sad? Because this team hasn't won a game in a long, long time. It's just, I don't know what to feel about this, man. I'm excited to see Cam Ward, but after listening to
you're
a couple
see much of Cam Ward, I'll tell you that.
That's what I'm saying. I'm excited to see him like the first couple series. I'm a big candidate that he should play a whole half, but we're not going to see that.
I told you last week I would go out playing him a quarter today, a half next week, and then as much as you can get out of him in the final game without getting him hurt.
Yeah, ramping him up. I like that idea.
Accelerate him. I think he'll see a maximum of like three series today. That depends on how quickly he goes. If he goes out the first series and it's a three and out, chances are he's probably going back out for another series.
Yeah.
If he goes out and runs a, I don't know, 13 plays, 7-minute drive, I don't think you're going to see much of Cam Ward after that. But I am excited to see what he looks like against real NFL competition. Granted, they may not be all starters. I think Todd Bowles said that Tampa Bay is not going to play many starters tonight. But still, those are an NFL player is an NFL player. You're in the league. You're auditioning, I guess, to be on that Tampa Bay roster for a reason. So I'm curious to see what, and in an enemy stadium, nonetheless, not that there's going to be stadium pulse, for lack of a better term.
There might be.
But there might be. I don't think Cam Ward is one to give in to pressure. I really don't. I think he is viewing this as just another game, which it is. And it doesn't really matter what happens, but I am excited to see him. The other thing I'm excited to see about Cam Ward is how does he connect with these young receivers? Is he connecting with Alec Iomanner and Chimera Dike and even Bryce Oliver, James Prochet? I want to see how those guys look. And Xavier Restrepo, who I'm sure will see some reps. I really want to see how this wide receiver room looks. That's my biggest anticipation of tonight's game.
Yeah, that wide receiver room, it's pretty deep. I think I was talking to Big Joe earlier this week on maybe Monday. We were talking about wide receivers.
I wouldn't say deep, but they have numbers.
Well, that's what I mean. Deep is in numbers.
They have guys you want
to
see.
Yeah, because Xavier Restrepo, I think from looking online, is like wide receiver 8 right now, which is not making the cut for the roster.
He ain't making the cut. I'll tell you that right now.
That just if they speed. Keep,
I was telling Lyman this a couple days ago. I think if the Titans keep 6 receivers, they'll keep, obviously, Ridley, Lockett, Jefferson, Bryce Oliver, DK, and Io Manor. If they keep 7, add James Prochet to that list.
I agree. I like that lineup. I like that depth right there.
Which I'm a fan of that lineup.
Yeah, because I think
you get kind of everything you need.
Yeah, Bryce Oliver and James Prochet, they both are good punt and kick returners. They're versatile in the passing game. I'm a fan of that. That's a great lineup.
Now, if you're doing punt returner, I'm a fan of sticking Chimry DK out there. He has experience in that position. He did it for Florida. He has the speed to do so and make an electric play. Lyman keeps hammering home this stat that the Titans haven't scored a kick return touchdown since like 2018.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
It's been a long, long time. I think if anyone is likely to do that, it would be Chimry DK.
Yeah.
Now, the problem with him is his hands. He doesn't have as good hands as some of these other receivers like Calvin Ridley or Alec Iomanner, even for that matter. That comes with time. That's something you can coach up and something you can develop. But I think his athleticism is just too hard to deny him a position at the punt return.
Yeah, I agree. I think if you got good hands, as you know, Joe Rexford may not have good hands, according to Mike Vrabel. What are you doing with your hands, Joe? I don't know.
He hits the mic a lot with his hands.
He does. Like something like this, maybe. I'm not going to do that. It's bad for the listeners. Sorry. Probably busted some eardrums. No, yeah, I'm excited for tonight, though, overall. Just want to see what Cam Ward's about. I think the one or two series we'll see him play, I'm just hoping he doesn't throw a slant route over the middle and it gets intercepted, because that just seems to be the narrative for Cam Ward right now when it comes to making bad decisions, is being too quick with it and forcing a throw literally right off the edge where there's that quick slant. And, you know, Cody Barton seems to have his number in training camp so far. And obviously Hassan Reddick had that first interception of the first pass from Cam Ward earlier this week. So I don't know that. I don't know if that's a Dan Moore with the pad level height or if it's Cam Ward's given a tell or something. I don't know. That's what I'm just worried that he's not there yet. I think that's what it is. I think the learning process for him needs to slow down a little bit. He keeps talking about how everything's going too fast for him. So yeah, I'd really hope him the best for Cam Ward in his first experience in the NFL, but time will tell.
Yeah. And I think that's something that's Titans PTSD. Because ever since McNair, you've had that fear of that quarterback. Vince Young wasn't ready. Jake Locker was never ready. Marcus, we ready, and then after the injury, had a downward swivel. Ryan Tannehill, of course, you brought him in, and he was a proven veteran. But the Titans can't develop a quarterback, it seems.
Yeah.
I think that fear you have is rational. I think that is a very valid fear. I tend to lean towards, I think he's ready. He has 50-plus games of college football under his belt, and every coach he's had has harped on him being ready and confident. So I think that's where my head is at, but I can totally understand the fear the average Titans fan would have of, you know, he's not going to be the savior.
Yeah. Not right off the bat, that is.
And look, if he goes out there tonight and he throws an interception and makes a mistake, that's okay. Don't freak out. This is preseason football with a rookie quarterback. He has to make these mistakes, because if he doesn't, then he doesn't learn. What's that thing Chase McCabe always tells us? The best way to learn something is by doing it. Mm-hmm. If you want to do something, if you want to host a live radio show, you got to do it. You just got to get thrown in there. You'll get better with time. I'll listen back to our very first show together, Frazier. What, April 20th of 2024, the debut of Forrest Cup.
Great memory.
Yeah, photographic. I was awful on that show. listening back, I was terrible. I stuttered. I would take breaths in the middle of my sentence, and I still do some of that sometimes. But you cannot tell me the August 9th, 2025 version of radio host Connor New is not miles better than April 20th of 2024.
Absolutely.
It's part of development. You have to make those mistakes to develop. And that's in everything. That's in driving. That's in school. And it sure as hell is in being an NFL quarterback. That's part of it.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And with all that being said, Connor, I will be taking the Titans to win tonight, 24-14.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, I'll take the Titans too in a low scoring barn burner.
Oh boy.
I'll take them 17-10.
Oh, okay. I think Cam Ward has one touchdown on the night.
I think he scores on the opening drive. Real quick, Jake and Corey Curtis were talking about this. What is the very first play that the Titans run?
Draw play up the middle.
That's what Corey said. Yeah. Or no, sorry, that's what Jake says.
Yeah, draw play up the middle. Has to be.
I think it'll be a screen to the outside to Calvin Ridley.
You think?
Yeah.
We'll see.
Bubble screen.
I feel like
right outside.
A draw play up the middle just sets the tone for the game. It just sets the tone. You get four or five yards.
To Pollard.
Yeah. Yep.
Hand off to Pollard for 3 yards. That sounds like such a Titans thing to do.
I mean, they're a run first team. Remember that? Don't forget. They're a run first team.
Well, also don't forget, nobody runs on the Tennessee Titans. Nobody.
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 Well, Connor, this has been fun for this hour, man.
Of course, man. Yeah. That'll do it for us here on Weekend Huddle. I almost called it Weekend Update, and I realized that's Saturday Night Live. But we are Weekend Huddle, of a new show, sort of a rehash of Forrest Company with the addition of Parker Kelly. But we will be here every week bringing you new segments, new fun, new chemistry, a whole lot of new era here on 102.5 The Game. But that'll do it for us here on this Saturday morning. Enjoy Titans football on our screens today. For Parker Kelly, Nick Frazier, Jake Wallman behind the glass, I am Connor Newt saying so long. We'll see you next week here on Weekend Huddle on 102.5 The Game.